If you're ready to stand on the line, if you're ready to fight back and serve it to the criminals trying to enslave you and steal your wealth through monetary creation and exorbitant taxation, you're in the right place. Welcome back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, water filters, bug-out bags, and first aid kits. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your entire order at CampingSurvival.com.
Hello, Kim John speaking.
Kim, is Vlad Putin. I have calling for RSVP about birthday party for you. I don't know what to bring it. I having some Soviet era warhead. Little rusty, but could be cleaned.
No, I have already. I want Molly compatible individual first aid kit from the PrepperRecon.com. It has everything for traumatic injury. Tourniquet, IBD, quick clot, suture kit, EMT shears, and chest seal. And so easy for bite. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click store tab at the top of the homepage. $89 includes shipping.
Okay, I buy for you. They have many tactical color. Do you preferring coyote, OD green, ACU, or black?
How about you surprise me?
Okay, I make surprise. But don't surprising me with those kimchi rolls again. Last time I eat, I had to leave in G20 early. And other thing, if Rodman wears miniskirt to party, I leaving.
Hey, Preppers and Patriots. Big announcement today. The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution. It's now available in paperback and Kindle. The audio edition should be out in a couple of weeks. It's already in production, and it'll probably be finished up this week, and then we'll be submitting it for review to ACX, and that usually takes about 2 weeks to get that out. So people that are fans of the audio, that should be out in about 2 weeks. But paperback and Kindle, it's ready to go right now. So if you want your copy, you can head on over to Amazon.com and pick that up right now. If you're on Prepper Recon, of course, we've got the link that you can just click right there on the top left-hand sidebar. That'll take you right over to Amazon for the Kindle edition. But if you're not on Prepper Recon, then you can just go to Amazon and type it in, The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution. Now, the storyline for Book 2 is that a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure, and that's blamed on the Christians and the Patriots. So they start rounding them up into the FEMA camps and interrogating them, and they start to blame everything on the Patriots and the Christians and start demonizing them to the public. I know that that's really probably not too far away from the truth from what's being done to us right now. That part of it's pretty believable. Now, of course, the false flag attack triggers a complete economic meltdown. Noah and Cassandra have to live through that. They have to start taking action and figuring out what they're going to do and how they're going to deal with the meltdown and how they're going to deal with this totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom. So, great book. I think you'll really, really enjoy it, especially if you liked book one. I think you'll really, really enjoy book two. For folks out there that haven't read book one yet, the basic premise of that is that there's a secret cabal working to collapse the international economy in order to usher in the global government and one world currency. Noah Parker's the main character, and he's sort of been asleep at the wheel. And during his complacency, the founding precepts of America have been systematically destroyed by a conspiracy that dates back hundreds of years. He can't ignore the signs any longer, and he's forced to prepare for the cataclysmic period of financial and political upheaval ahead. The secondary storyline of Book 1, which is called Conspiracy, The Days of Noah, Book 1, Conspiracy, is Everett Carroll, and he's a young CIA analyst. He's sort of a Edward Snowden type, and he has this older agent that brings him in, puts him under his wing, and starts to explain sort of this plot of the globalists to bring in a global government, and gives Everett some pointers on surviving the planned collapse. And I do get into a lot of the modern conspiracies, and I try to weave those into how they could possibly play into biblical prophecy concerning end times. So it's sort of one of those type of books, one of those lead up to the rapture type books. For people that have read the Left Behind series, I think you'll really enjoy this series because it's sort of that period right before Left Behind. So those last few months and weeks and years leading up to the rapture. And if you like that kind of stuff, I'm sure you'll love this book and the series. Most of the people that read it have really, really enjoyed it, and I've gotten a lot of great positive feedback on that. A lot of you guys send me emails or leave comments on PrepperRecon.com. And I really, really appreciate all that. And it's just, it's really heartwarming to know that you guys are enjoying that. Really, the only two criticisms I've gotten for the Days of Noah have been, one is the Christian content, which I'm not going to do anything about that. That's not changing. You know, people regularly deal with God's name being used in vain and reading books with the torrid sex scenes and the F-bomb being thrown around. And it's even, you know, working its way into primetime television now. And people aren't offended by that at all. But, you know, you say the name of Jesus and that's it. Everybody's flipping out. We won't be changing anything about that. In fact, this book is going to have as much or more Christian content than any of the others. And that's going to be a hallmark of my work because, without God, I'd be a babbling idiot anyway. So all praise and honor and glory to him. Now, the other thing that I got some feedback on that some people didn't necessarily like, I think most people really liked this aspect, but some people didn't really like the conspiracy side of it. Now, with that said, most of the conspiratorial aspects of the book are pretty well documented fact, and most of it's covered by mainstream media. One of the openers that we play for the Prepper Recon podcast from time to time is George Bush on NBC doing a morning show interview, and he's being asked about his involvement with Skull and Bones, and he says, you know, it's so secret I can't even talk about it. So that's not conspiracy theory. That's conspiracy fact. Kerry, which, you know, ran against Bush, he was also a member of the Skull and Bones, and he also admits it to that same NBC reporter. And you can look that up on YouTube. You can just go to the YouTube search engine and type in Kerry or Bush and Skull and Bones. And that interview is going to pop right up. So you can listen to that yourself. Another thing we talk about in the book is Operation Northwoods. And that was a operation that was written up by the CIA during the Cuban Missile Crisis to get support from the American public to invade Cuba. And what the plan was basically to paint up a military jet to look like a civilian jetliner, shoot it down over the ocean, blow it up, and say that it was a U.S. commercial jet full of U.S. citizens and publicize it in the news. And of course, if they would have done that, I'm sure everybody would have bought it hook, line, and sinker like they always do. And they would have been in very, very, very supportive about the invasion of Cuba by the U.S. military, something that they always do. And, you know, that was back in the 60s that they came up with that. So you can imagine if they were kind of up with stuff like that in the 60s that, you know, there's no telling what they've got cooked up for the future. So everything that's happening in Noah may be a little tame rather than a little too far-fetched. Another thing we talk about in Book 1 in Conspiracy is Operation Mockingbird, and that is the CIA will have people that will influence the mainstream media, either working at the companies, the media companies, or feeding stuff to the reporters or executives that work for the media companies to make sure that their ideas are getting into the minds of the public and helping to steer public opinion. Because people kind of watch the news in this sort of zombie zone. You know, I do that. I'll watch TV. I'll watch a TV show. And you know, you've been working hard all day and going a million miles an hour. You just kind of want to sit back and relax and let your mind go. And you get into this very passive state, and it's very easy for ideas to be thrown at you and steer your opinions when you're in that state. So the media is a great outlet for them to be able to do that and control the public opinion through that. And of course, if that's something you want to learn a little bit more about, Project Mockingbird, it was officially shut down, but as late as 1975, CIA Director William Colby admitted that that the CIA had influence on pretty much every major media outlet in America. So that's something else that you can search on YouTube, and you can see his deposition before the Church Committee. So check that out. Search it on YouTube. That's William Colby, 1975, admitting before Church Committee that the CIA influences the media. And because it's good to watch this stuff and to just sort of hear it from the horse's mouth and actually see it for yourself rather than, you know, taking what I say or what maybe Alex Jones says or anybody else and just because we said it, it's automatically true. You know, you got to the same way that you have to fact check the mainstream media, you have to fact check us too, the alternative media. And you know, we're out there, we're just trying to wake people up, but we're more than the mainstream media that just wants you to trust whatever they say. We want you to go out there and dig this stuff up yourself and check it out yourself and find out if what we're saying is true or not. You know, because if it's not, then, you know, send us an email. It doesn't have to be mean or nasty, but send us an email and let us know where we're wrong so we can get that corrected. I also talk about in the book, we talk about some of the things that were intentionally done by the U.S. government in Iraq that alienated the Sunni Muslims and helped to create what's now ISIL. So I'm not saying that they necessarily intended to create ISIL, but there were certainly some things that they did that were just really, really bad foreign policy that helped to result in this horrible problem that we've got over there now. And then something else we talk about in Conspiracy in the Days of Noah book one is the 1500 architects that categorically reject the notion that World Trade Center 7 could have just pancaked into its own footprint without any extensive planning and no demolition explosives, and how they just all absolutely reject that. And if you want to check that out, you can also search that on YouTube, and that's AE4911 Truth. And it stands for architects and engineers that are looking for the truth behind 9/11. Because according to them, because I'm not an architect or an engineer, and I don't really know anything about this kind of stuff, but according to them, and there's 1,500 of them, they say that there's absolutely no way that building could have fell down the way that it did from what's been told to us was just an office fire. Certainly something worth looking into, because it's so important to know if we were being lied to about this stuff. It's very, very important to get that message out so we can start thinking about what does it mean and why are they lying. So, and then we'll get into the main topic of today's show. 7 signs the new world order is at hand. This is sort of what a lot of what book 2 is about. So the people that will call it conspiracy theory and say that it's just tinfoil hat material, this is just a few of the headlines from the past couple of weeks that I think are pretty good circumstantial evidence that it's really not so far from the truth at all. Number one, we'll talk about the open borders. Now, we're constantly being told about this boogeyman, ISIS, that's way over on the other side of the planet. Yes, they're horrific people, and what they're doing is horrific, and what they're doing to the Coptic Christians and the Kurds and everybody else, it's absolutely horrific. But like we just said, you know, there's a lot of things that America did through its foreign policy over there that sort of helped to create that. And part of that was when Paul Brenner was the liaison to the Iraqi government, and he alienated the Sunnis and from their government. You know, they sort of had this thing between the Sunnis and the Shias that were sort of like Democrats and Republicans. It didn't really work, and they didn't really get along, but somehow or another, they made a functioning government out of it. And then when we went in and alienated one party of the government from the governmental system, we really made a lot of people mad. And not to mention by scooping up entire towns of people and sticking them in Abu Ghraib, which Khaki ran and did the interrogations there. They did some really, really horrific stuff in the way of enhanced interrogations. Everything from genital mutilation to anal feeding to causing them stress positions and raping of family members and all kinds of really, really horrific stuff. And I know these are kind of hard topics, but you know, if this is something that your government's doing, it's certainly the stuff that we need to know about and the stuff that we need to think about and talk about, especially, you know, as the elections are coming around. You know, a lot of people will say that, oh, well, Paul Bremer was just sort of this idiot that didn't know what he was doing. But I don't know about that, because he was the chief of staff for Henry Kissinger for a very long time, who is he's a member of the Trilateral Commission. He's a member of the Bilderberg group. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And of course, the book that he wrote last year was called World Order. So it's not like it's something that he's really trying to hide, that he's a globalist. Anything that he could do or have influence on that would help to bring about a global order. If his fingerprint's on it, it sounds like it was intentional to me. And then anytime we're talking about ISIS in the news, and this is Fox and this is MSNBC and CNN and every single one of them, it's this huge, horrific threat over on the other side of the planet. But if they can just freely move into Mexico and freely cross our borders, that doesn't really get a lot of play in the headlines. So I would say that if they're this huge, horrible threat, then we would need to do something about locking down our borders, just build a cheap fence or start getting very aggressive about the people that we let into the country on visas or passports or any other way. And if we're not doing those kind of things, it doesn't make sense to me to be spending money or blood and treasure to try to affect the problem on the other side of the world. Because if it's going to affect us, it's going to affect us here. And what we need to be doing is locking down our borders here and being paying very close attention to the people that we're letting in the country. But we're not doing that. And we don't want to offend those people, and we don't want to hurt their feelings by making them feel different when they come into the country. Of course, if you're a Christian and you go to one of their countries, you're probably going to get your head chopped off. So they don't have any problem with that. If it's you and your wife and you're going on a trip on an airplane, they don't have any qualms with hurting your feelings or making you feel bad by treating you like a terrorist and going through all of your stuff and making you empty your pockets and take off your shoes and your belt and rubbing their hands all over your wife's body before she gets on the airplane. That's okay. Don't want to offend anybody that might be coming in from another country. That's certainly the biggest problem. And it's inconsistent. And they tell us that it's for our own good. It's not, because they're not doing the things that they would do if it was for our good. Because if they were locking down the borders and paying attention to who was coming in, that would be doing something for our good. And they're not doing that. So it really feels more and more like we're being lied to. Sign number two that the New World Order is at hand is the new proposed 5.56 ammo ban by the ATF. And also, we're going to lump this all into one sign, the Chicago Police Department black site, which was exposed by The Guardian. And basically what they're doing in Chicago is they've got three different buildings that when they don't really have the evidence to lock somebody up to interrogate them, what they're doing is they're basically just black bagging people and disappearing them and taking them into these black sites and holding them indefinitely without charging them and without reading them their rights and without entering them into the police system. So they're not officially being arrested. They're just taken to these sites and having an enhanced interrogation methods used on them to try to get information. And this is just sort of that law enforcement culture that's been bred by the 2012 Indefinite Detention Act. You know, you don't pass legislation like that and not use it. It's always kind of touted like, we're going to pass this in case we ever need it. Well, no, once they pass something like the 2012 Indefinite Detention Clause, National Defense Authorization Act, they're going to use it. It's just a matter of when. And the legislation an act of the ATF to ban 5.56 ammo is coming at the same time as legislation's being proposed to ban civilian use of body armor. You know, if you haven't gotten your body armor yet, you know, one of our sponsors is KD Armor, and you know, you can go over there to KD Armor and check them out, and they've got really, really good prices. They've got all the plates, and they're the steel plates, so they're not the ceramic ones that, you know, they get hit once and then they crack. These will take hits over and over and over, and they've got all the plate carriers for those. They've got the anti-spall coating on them so that when the bullet fragments, you don't have to worry about pieces of it rolling up under your chin and going up into your head. It's meant to stop that. And they have all the plate carriers there. And of course, if you use coupon code PrepperRecon, I think you get 5% off. So that's a real incentive as well. So definitely go over there and check them out if you haven't yet, because That stuff's all going to be gone in a couple of years from now. It's going to be, you know, people wishing that they would have got that stuff when it was available. And, it's like the 5.56 green tipped ammo right now. If you didn't get that last year, you're not getting it now. More than likely they'll be successful with this ban and they'll pull it off and it'll never be on the market again. So if you don't already have some of that, you're not getting it unless you're willing to pay 10 or 20 bucks a round for it. And that's definitely a sign of the New World Order being at hand, because what they're going to want to do is make sure that they're the only ones with the bullets and they're the only ones with the body armor, and that the people who are listed at the top of the Constitution, we the people, who's supposed to be the government, the ones that are supposed to be in control, they want to make sure that they have no means of exerting that control and no means of exerting that constitutional authority that was supposed to be given to us.
It's time for a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proved to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on silver and gold. Check out silver.com today.
Are you prepared to defend yourself and your loved ones in extraordinary circumstances? Do you know the one piece of gear Special Operations soldiers rely on to gain an unfair advantage in the field? Are you interested in honing your firearm skills based on lessons learned in actual gunfights? In desperate times, ready men rise to the occasion and come out on top in difficult scenarios. With 73 years of Special Forces experience, the Ready Man Cadre blends cutting-edge tactics with the most current prepper skills into each online episode and live training event. Go to readyman.com to learn more and sign up for a free Special Forces designed hostage escape card that you can easily carry and defeat locks, cut through ropes, and pick your way out of handcuffs. Again, that's readyman.com to sign up for your free Special Forces designed hostage escape card.
Sign number three that the New World Order is at hand is people who don't want to inject their children with vaccines which contain thimerosal, which is a product containing mercury, one of the most dangerous substances on the planet. They're being demonized by the press. We had the Disney measles going around, and it was all the fault of the people that didn't want to vaccinate their children. I don't know how it can be their fault, because if you're on board with the globalists and you want your kids vaccinated, and they still got the Disney measles, evidently the vaccine didn't work, and it doesn't have anything to do with the person that was a conscientious objector and didn't want to inject their kids with poison. And for the most part, it's not people that are just crazy that don't want vaccines. You know, I mean, I think everybody sort of understands the risk reward of vaccines, and nobody wants to get sick. And if it's just something that's going to keep me from getting sick, I don't have any problem taking that. You know, I take vitamins and supplements and things like that all the time to keep from getting sick. It's just that, you know, why do you have to put mercury in the vaccines? You know, so give me a vaccine that doesn't have thimerosal in it and I'll take it. I don't have any problem with that. It's just the mercury. That's what scares me, and that's what I don't trust. And that's what I don't want to put in my body or put in my kid's body. Anybody that thinks like me, we're being demonized by the press. And sign number four that the New World Order is at hand is the government takeover of the internet. We just saw the FCC make a huge power grab and just by divine fiat take over the last remaining free outlet of speech in most college campuses around America. Now, if you want to voice your free speech, you've got to go to the free speech zone. Anytime there's a trilateral commission meeting or Bilderberger meeting in America, or anybody wants to protest against the Council on Foreign Relations, they always get a free speech zone where they're allowed to voice their opinions, which is either behind some orange mesh, or sometimes it's actually galvanized steel cage that they're put behind, which looks a lot more like a prison than a free speech zone. College campuses, they've got the free speech zones. Of course, the Bundy Ranch, they were given a free speech zone, you know, which I don't think our founding fathers ever intended for the First Amendment to be a zone. I thought that from sea to shining sea, from the Rio to the Canadian border, from Florida to Washington, and from Maine to California, and everything in between was a free speech zone, but not anymore. And, you know, one of the last places that we have to still speak freely is the internet. That's why I'm able to do this show now, why a lot of other alternative media sites are able to get out that information, because we still have the freedom of the Fourth Estate, you know, which was supposed to be the media. But since the mainstream media has been hijacked since the 50s by Project Mockingbird, it's pretty much up to us to do what we can to get it out there and try to tell people what's going on. And sign number five, that the New World Order is at hand, is the persecution of Christians. And yes, folks, for all the other pre-tribbers out there that you thought that Jesus was going to come get us before we ever faced any kind of persecution in America, well, that's not going to work out, it looks like. Sweet Cakes, which is a bakery in Oregon that refused to do a wedding cake for a gay couple, they lost their civil lawsuit, and they're going to have to pay $150,000 for not baking that cake. There's a good chance that this is going to put them out of business. And if this one doesn't, then I'm sure that you're going to have the gay mafia that's going to send people in there that are going to order cakes and see if they're going to make them. So they're going to either have to cave, or now there's been a precedent established at least in the state of Oregon, that if you're a baker and you do refuse, you're going to get hit with the $150,000 fine. And so, you know, maybe you had a really successful bakery. Maybe you're like Cake Boss. You could sustain the first round of civil litigation and still stay in business. But can you take the second one? Can you take the third one? Can you take the fourth one? I would say most people, after losing four lawsuits like that, $600,000, I would say most people would be completely out of business. And most of them long before that. Most small businesses, the first instance of that, and you're gone out of business. And so these people have lost their livelihood. You know, they're not going to be able to effectively do that anymore. And the only reason that they're not going to be able to have a job anymore is because they're Christians. So that, folks, is persecution of Christians in America. And so it's here. It's not something that's conspiracy theory. It's not something that's going to happen. This is something that's here. And we're just going to see more and more of it. So it's certainly something that folks need to start bracing themselves for financially, because that's really going to where they're going to come at us. We got to start bracing ourselves spiritually and mentally and physically, and just getting ready for whatever this brings, because it's not going to stop and it's just going to get worse. And of course, you know, that's not the first. This isn't an isolated incident. There was a florist that was also sued for not performing services for a gay wedding. There was a wedding chapel in Iowa that had some litigation against them. There was a photographer, and then I think there was another baker in Colorado, separate from the one in Oregon that I just mentioned. And I think a lot of these are ongoing, or there's just been rulings that you have to do it, that you have to perform the services. So a lot of people are going to be going out of business because they don't want to do that. Pray up, save up, you know, get your finances in order, because it's going to be a lot easier to say no if you've got that 6 months preparedness cushion of savings to be able to go through something like that. You know, if you're living hand to mouth and you know that you're going to lose your livelihood because you stand up for the cause of Christ, you still might do it. It's going to be a lot more painful than if you were financially prepared by having some savings in the bank, or maybe not even in the bank, because now after the bail-in and in Cyprus, you know, it's a good idea to keep a little cash around the house too, whether it's under the mattress or in a safe, or dig a hole out in the woods with a coffee can or whatever, but keep a little cash on hand. And sign number six, that the New World Order is at hand. I just read a Bloomberg article on Google's Bill Morris. And he's talking about living to be 500 years old through technology. And for those of you who may be new to the concept, it's called transhumanism. And it's all about replacing eternal life through the blood of Christ with eternal life through the works of our own hands, i.e. technology. If we can get rid of the nonsense about pie in the sky and some imaginary being up in the sky, do everything through technology, then we can kind of be our own gods, which is something that people all through time have sought to do, is to be their own god. That was the original sin, is Adam and Eve And despite the fact that God said, you can eat off of every tree except this one, you know, I'm God, just respect me for that and do everything, eat everything else except this one tree. And you don't have to ask why, just do it. And they couldn't do that. They had to be their own gods and make their own rules. And Satan promised them that they'd be smarter and wiser if they would eat of that fruit. They fell for it. And they said, yeah, we want to be our own gods. We want to be like God. And we want to know everything that God knows. So they took that fruit and ate it. That's what people have always done since the beginning of time. And we're still doing it. And sign number 7. That the New World Order is at hand is Jean-Claude Juncker, the president of the EU, is now calling for a European Union army. And, of course, this is going to establish precedent for a UN army. Get ready, folks. The blue helmets are coming to a town near you. So, as you can see, all of these conspiracy theories are just mainstream media news now. So, it's here. It's not something that's going to happen. So, the days of Noah... book one, conspiracy, or even book two, persecution. Now we're already seeing all the things that are happening in those books are already happening in our news cycle. So of course there is some speculation and I try to make it fun and try to make it entertaining. And of course, as always with the release of the book, I'm doing a huge giveaway and I've got a ton of fantastic survival gear that I'm going to be giving away. The drawing is going to be on March 31st, which is a Tuesday. So it's going to be the day before April Fool's Day. I was going to make it April 1st, but I figured if I emailed people, oh, you won on April 1st, then most of them would think that it was a joke and never respond with their address. So I'm going to do that on March 31st so that you don't think it's an April Fool's joke when you get that email that says you won. And it's such a good chance that you're going to get one of those emails that says you won, because in all of the previous giveaways, we'll typically have about 30 people that will participate in those giveaways. So this time there's 3 prizes. So if there's 30 people competing for 3 prizes, what's your odds of winning? Yeah, 1 in 10. So really, really good chance of winning. Of course, you know, you never know. This could be the one where 100 people participate. But even so, you'd still have a 1 in 30 chance, which is a lot better odds than most any other giveaway out there. Here's how you win. You go to Amazon.com or you can just go to PrepperRecon.com and you can click the Days of Noah Book 2 Persecution up on the left-hand side, and that's going to take you to the page. Then you're going to see a link. It's going to say Custom Reviews. You click that, and then there's going to be a little bar with a blue writing in it that says Create Your Own Review. You'll click that. You'll write your review for the book. Of course, you're going to have your Amazon screen name, and then after you finish your review, you'll email me, PrepperRecon@gmail.com with your Amazon screen name, and in the subject heading for your email, put Noah 2 giveaway. So that's the Days of Noah Book 2 and giveaway, so that I'll know what it's for, and I'll put that in the proper folder. And that's it, and you're entered to win. So it's 2 easy steps. You leave a review, and then you email me, PrepperRecon@gmail.com with your Amazon screen name, so I'll be able to see that you did post that review for the Days of Noah Book 2 Persecution. Prize number 1 is the Ultimate Bug Out Bag Package. So for that one, one grand prize winner is going to win an Armenian quarter-ounce silver coin featuring Noah's Ark. You're going to get a fully stocked bug out bag. It's going to have some really great survival gear from our friends over at survivalbags.inc.com. Once again, that's survivalbagsinc.com. I almost mispronounced that, and I wouldn't want to do that because they've given us a lot of great stuff. Very, very complete bug out bag. It's got toothpaste. It's got a bunch of hygiene stuff in it. Toothpaste, toilet paper, cleaning towelettes. It's got 6 packets of emergency drinking water. It's got one of those 2,400 calorie emergency food bars. It's got a poncho, a pocket survival tool, N95 face mask, hand warmers, emergency blanket, first aid kit, wet fire for if you're trying to light a fire and everything you're working with, all of your tinder and all your wood and everything's wet, you can light up one of these little wet fires and it'll get your fire going for you. It's got a magnesium fire starter. It's got a whole bunch of 550 paracord along with some 550 paracord shoelaces so that you can put these in your shoes, that you'll always have paracord with you. They've got the manufactured ends, so it's not like the just taking a length of paracord and melting the ends and then trying to get that through the eyelets of your shoes. This has the manufactured tips on it. Got a nice deck of playing cards in your bug out bag because it's important to have something to keep yourself entertained when you're bugging out. You know, might be very bored out there trying to survive. And they're the Patriot Series playing cards from our friends over at ConflictedTheGame.com. I'm sorry, that's ConflictedTheGame.com. We've also got a nice 550 paracord bracelet. We've got some Fishmox amoxicillin, which, you know, I'm not saying that you can take that yourself, but I know that, speaking for myself, I have taken Fishmox amoxicillin, and it's manufactured in the same facilities, and it has the same dosage as amoxicillin that's prescribed by your doctor. It's something that I like to have around just in case. Got a nice tactical desert scarf in there. The schmogs, like you see a lot of the guys that come back from serving in the desert, they like to use them a lot to either keep the sun off your head or use it as a dust mask, or just a lot of sort of survival things that you can do with those. It's got a nice survival knife, sort of the Rambo type knife, with the compass on the top and a fishing kit inside of the handle, and a saw and a sharpening stone. And it's also got a 4 gig USB drive preloaded with Tails operating system and Tor from our friends over at eprepper.net. And you also get a copy of Retreat Security and Small Unit Tactics by David Kobler and myself. So that's just prize number one. Now, prize number two is the Ultimate Survival Library and Tactical Gear Package. And prize number two winner is going to win a Molly shoulder sling with a hydration compartment and utility pocket, a black operator's cap, fog-resistant tactical goggles, 3 packets of emergency drinking water, and that's going to go inside your Molly shoulder sling, an N95 face mask, emergency blanket, mini first aid kit, complete with IBD, bandages, Steri-Strips, 550 paracord shoelaces, a deck of conflicted cards from our friends at Conflicted the Card Games, and of course those are the scenario cards where you draw out one and you say, oh, you know, if the zombies were kicking in your front door and all you had was a pencil and a roll of duct tape, you know, what would you do? And then you get to go around the circle with all your friends and figure out, you know, how you're going to fight the zombies with a pencil and a roll of duct tape. And there are much better scenarios than that. It's just the first thing that came into my twisted head. And then we're also going to have, in that package, you're also going to get the 30 count of the Fishmox amoxicillin, the USB drive, again, with Tales and Tor from eprepper.net, and a copy of Retreat Security and Small Unit Tactics by me and David, Resurrecting Home by Angry American, and Tools for Survival by James Wesley Rawls. Prize number three is the All-in-One Mini Survival Kit Package. And prize number three winner is going to win a SOL 3-in-1 Survival Kit. That's courtesy of our friends over at Survival Bags, Inc. And this is the perfect kit for your car. It's got a little flashlight, a little first aid kit, a fire starter, poncho, emergency blanket, duct tape, and just tons of really cool stuff that's in a really small, compact package that you can just throw under the seat of your car, and you always have something there. You know, and if you're starting out and you don't have a bug out bag, this is a good thing to just sort of kickstart your bug out bag too. Or if you've got everything and you're all locked down for your car and your bug out bag, everybody knows somebody that hasn't gotten around to start prepping yet. And this is a good little starter kit for them. And a lot of times when you get stuff for people to get them started on their way, they'll start adding to it on their own. So it's a great thing for that. You're also going to get the 550 paracord shoelaces, another deck of conflicted cards from our friends at ConflictedTheCardGame.com. And that's the scenario cards again. Paracord bracelet, Fishmox, the 4 gig USB drive with Tails and Tor, and a copy of Retreat Security and Small Unit Tactics by David Kobler and myself. So if you want to check that out, you go over to PrepperRecon.com. You go over to today's show notes. There's going to be a link that's going to say huge survival gear giveaway. You just click that, and that's going to take you to the page and give you all the information. You'll be able to see all the pictures of all the stuff that we're giving away. So a lot of great prizes there, and like I said, the chances of winning are really, really high. Even if we have double the amount of people participate in this drawing, and we have 60 people instead of 30, your odds are still going to be 20-1. So really, really good chance of winning in this. And then for the last part of today's show, I have to, I do the best I can to try to get everything right and get everything perfect, but I'm human and I'm not perfect, and it's impossible for me to fully research everything to the extent that I would like to, because I've just got so many things going on. I'm trying to do so many things at one time, and once in a while, I'll get some facts wrong. And I did that recently, and it was the show. If you heard me and Cal Wilson doing the show a couple weeks ago on, Preparedness on the Cheap, we were talking about Cal's new book. And one of the things we talked about in that show was, the last election, we talked about Mitt Romney and the 47% of people that were dependent on the government or getting government assistance. Thanks to NHP Silver, he left me a comment on YouTube and kind of set me straight on some of the stuff we got wrong in that show. So I'm just going to read his comments. And he said, "You guys and Mitt Romney are taking a very simplistic and frankly unthinking view of the 47%. I promise I'm not trying to be demeaning here, because I love your program and everything you contribute. Literally millions of veterans, whether retired from a career in the military or like myself, that sustained injuries during deployment, receive federal benefits such as retirement pay, disability pay, VA health care, etc. We are among that 47%, and don't discount what the senior citizens make up of that 47% is either. I easily know that hundreds fall into these categories, and I'm personally close with dozens of them. I can easily say 80%, if not 90%, are conservative. Granted, most are straight up Republican, but many more are more liberty minded than typical Republicans. I was on the fence when voting Romney last time, and when he lumped me into the 47% welfare class he won't get votes from, I decided to make him right and gave my vote to Gary Johnson. Please don't assume the entire 47% are welfare shoo-ins for Democrat votes. Cal is a great guest, and hopefully I'll pick up his book soon. Keep up the great work, and thanks for all you do." So the first thing I want to say is NHP Silver, thank you for bringing that to my attention, and thanks for your service to our country. It was a great way that he pointed that out to me. Of course, I get a lot of emails and stuff that people disagree with me on, things that it's just a difference of opinion. It wasn't necessarily things that I got wrong, like in this particular instance of people that are just downright nasty in the way that they present their opinion. And, you know, and it's hard to have any time for that or to even engage in a discussion or address the topic when somebody's nasty. But even in this, where I was absolutely in the wrong and absolutely deserve somebody to be railing on me, NHP Silver was still very, very graceful about the way he presented this. So thanks so much for that, NHP Silver. So first of all, let me apologize to everyone who's legitimately getting a check from the government. If you served our country and are getting a disability check or pension check or collecting Social Security after paying into a broken system for years, I'm sorry I offended you and I didn't mean to at all. You earned that money and it's yours. Now, to sort of clarify why I was confused, I think it comes from when I hear the word assistance, I automatically think it's a euphemism for a handout, and it never even crossed my mind that vets and senior citizens were included in that 47%. I assume that those legitimate payments were on top of welfare and wealth redistribution programs making up the 47%. So now I've done my homework, and according to the Washington Post, it's about 27.1% benefited from at least one means-tested poverty program. And that in and of itself doesn't even mean that the entire 27% is milking the system either. Some people work two jobs and they still can't make it. Now, why is that? Well, it's because the Fed has debased the currency to the point that it's almost worthless. And the dollar just doesn't cut it. The Fed's printed trillions, both to make welfare payments and to buy bombs to blow up boogeymen on the other side of the planet, when Washington won't even put up a fence and enact some common sense immigration laws to screen out these boogeymen who can just pour across our borders right now like a plague of diseased infested rats. And what it ends up doing in the welfare system is this printed money that's printed to help the poor actually hurts the poor. A $7 an hour job right now won't buy you squat. But you think about back in 1913, before the Fed was created, $7 an hour was unheard of. Bank managers in 1913 made $85 a month. So that's about $2.12 an hour. That's if they only worked 40 hours a week, which is very, very doubtful. They probably were putting in 50 hours, or maybe sometimes even 60. 60. So when a worker at McDonald's can't live on 300% of a banker's salary from 1913, the problem isn't the $7 an hour job. It's the government involvement in the money supply, and that's the big problem. Well, that's about it for today's show. I really appreciate you guys tuning in and listening today, and I know it was kind of a long one, and appreciate you sticking around. And God bless, and happy prepping.
In the Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. A globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.